Hey guys, and welcome to the next episode of Percussion Perspective. I'm Kevin.
Hey, I'm Remy.
And on today's episode, we're going to start our first two-parter. We're going to do a two-part episode on making the right stick choice for this episode, and our next one would be making the right mallet choice. We were going to start with it being one episode of making the right stick and mallet choice, but we decided to make it a two-parter. So before we kind of get into the episode, Remy, how's it going, dude?
It's going well, man. I'm on spring break, as are you. And right now I'm actually at my in-laws' house. We came into town for a couple days to see some friends. And we talked about on the episode last week, we're going to hang out with you guys tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I'm actually got the mobile podcasting setup going. I'm upstairs in my father-in-law's office set up here, and we're enjoying it. We're just chilling out on spring break. We've had some really nice weather and gone and done some stuff outside and just gotten to see some family and a couple friends already. So it's been good. How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Same as you, kind of day one of spring break. I got to spend the first real day helping my sister-in-law. She does videography for weddings, so I got to be her what they call second shooter for that. So that was cool. And we got to do it for a really good friend. So that's always kind of fun to get to be on that
second
part
shooter. That's like a conspiracy theory type stuff, right?
Yep. No, I'm just kidding. No, but yeah, just getting to record work with cameras and stuff is kind of cool. Another way to be creative.
Nice. Well, I wanted to give a real quick, update. We just took my high school percussion ensembles to the Oklahoma Percussion Festival, the OKPAS thing, hosted at Oklahoma City University this last week. It was really great. We played a concert. It was cool. We got to premiere a piece that I wrote for my kids, and we had a bus tire blowout on the way there. So we were stuck on the side of I-44 for a couple hours and had to move our performance time back a couple hours, and that was great. But the kids handled it really well. They went to like a Dollar General and they bought a bunch of Elmer's glue and cornstarch and made like a giant bucket of slime on the side of the road. There was, I don't know. I don't understand kids anymore, but at least they weren't just all staring at their phones for 2 hours. So that was cool.
Yeah. If you give them an opportunity to like make something of a boring situation, they will figure it out for sure. Well, you want to jump in to how to make a stick choice?
I was going to talk about the consistency of the slime that they made for a couple more minutes, actually.
Okay. Go for
no.
it.
Yeah, we can jump into this. Like Kevin said, we were wanting this to be just one episode, but you know, that's the thing. Podcasts make two-part episodes. So here we go. Here's our first two-part episode. So before we kind of get into the meat of this episode, I just want to say first, keep in mind the sound that you want to achieve, right? So when you're looking for a drumstick, just go for something that's going to give you the best sound. If you're in, an orchestral setting, you're playing like snare drum or toms or something, with an orchestra, you're probably not going to need like some big chunky 5B drum set sticks. You're probably going to want something that is a little bit lighter and more articulate and has, you know, a little bit different bead on it. We'll get into talking about all these different categories and how to help you achieve the sound that you want, because all the categories we'll talk about today, kind of go right into that. But just keep in mind the sound that you're wanting to achieve. And you know, if you're doing that, there's really no wrong answer.
Yeah. And a lot of the stuff we're talking about, we don't want anyone to kind of feel like we're trying to be like snobby and that you have to get the right stick for every single thing that you do in the percussion world. It's like, that's not true. If you find sticks that you like that work, then use them. You know, you don't have to have like a stick bag that has 85 sticks and that you're switching sticks between every single measure of music that you play. It doesn't have to be that extreme, but
I play my left flams with these and then I play my right flams with this pair. Just sounds better.
I mean, I think some people are like that, and that's okay. That's okay if you want to be like that. I think the most important thing
like it's okay.
I just think it's more important that what you're playing sounds good. And if you, you know, find a set of sticks, like we'll talk about this a little bit later, but I've got like a, you know, a solid four or five pairs that I just like that work well for me. And I don't need to have every single stick that's offered. But anyway, like just think about, like Remy said, what you're trying to accomplish with your sticks and what setting you're using them in. And we'll get deeper into that in a minute.
Totes. Okay. So yeah, now that we just got through talking about that, we're not snobs. Our next one is, not all sticks are created equal. So you get what you pay for in most cases, right? The old saying, and I kind of hate that saying, but you know, it is true a lot. So you don't want to be using like the $5 special out of the Guitar Center, you know, upside down Tom with a batter head taken off of it. And there's just a bunch of cruddy drumsticks in there. You do want to try and get something that is from a reputable company. You want to make sure that you're getting something that is at least up to a certain standard. I've had really crappy drumsticks before. When I was in high school, I remember buying on the internet like maybe a 50 pair bag of drumsticks. And I just started going through them like every 2 days because they were just so cheap and they were just breaking all the time. And so you do want to find something that is from a reputable company and that is made with good materials. I think we kind of talked about it, and we, like me and Kevin, we'll just come out and say it. We're both affiliated with Vic Firth. We're both Vic Firth educators. And so we like to recommend Vic Firth products. We like their stuff a lot. But whatever the brand is that you choose, you can find something that is going to be quality.
Yeah. Speaking about like professionally playing versus educator based thoughts, like I've had kids come up to me in the past and they'll say like, "Mr. Mazurko, I got my own pair of sticks and they were really cheap and I'm really happy about them." And then they show them to me and it's like the pair of sticks that they got in their Rock Band set. And at the end of the day, I guess if your kids have a pair of sticks to use, then they're going to hopefully learn what you're trying to teach them. But you do want to kind of set them up for a little bit better of success. So yeah, just finding, like Remy said, a reputable brand. And sometimes you can find that in, you know, not the most popular of places. There's plenty of good stick companies out there that aren't name brand. It's kind of like the term cottage company. You can find a lot of companies out there making good stuff that may not be as, you know, popular, that's not always available at Guitar Center or any other popular music store. So set yourself up.
And you can still learn how to play rebound down, tap up strokes with Rock Band sticks. Like you can do it. It's just not going to sound super great once you get on a drum. They're not going to be pitch matched, all of that stuff. And we'll talk about that. So you good there to move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Cool. So that kind of segues us into materials matter, right? So whatever your drumstick is made of is really going to determine the type of sound and the volume and the feel in your hand and everything. So, you know, the most obvious material to talk about with drumsticks is wood. Different woods are going to give different results. They're going to give different sound. They're going to give different rebounds. They're going to give, you know, like a bright sound or a dark sound. And most of that's due to the denseness of the wood. You know, how dense is it? So something like hickory is super dense and super hard. And so that's a really popular choice for drum set because your sticks have to be really durable. You're hitting rim shots a lot. You're playing on cymbals and, you know, in the battle between metal versus wood, metal is going to win in the end. So you want that wood to be as strong as possible to, you know, so you're not having to go through a pair of drumsticks, you know, every couple days. But some of the popular woods, I know the very first thing that I have my beginners get, it's the Vic Firth SD1 General stick, just a really general snare drum stick. Those are made of maple. Maple's pretty light on the scale of drumstick woods. And so those are really nice for concert sticks because they're pretty bouncy. They rebound well. They don't overpower, you know, especially in young bands, you end up sometimes having two or three people on a snare drum, especially with beginning bands, just because you usually have so many kids and so few parts. And so, you know, those lighter sticks are going to be a little bit quieter rather than having a big, chunky, heavy hickory stick or an oak stick. It's going to be really, really loud and overpower everybody really easily.
Yeah. And I've sometimes seen, like, again, I've had kids come up to me with their own stick that they've gotten, and it's been like this really thick, like drum set stick. And the opposite, I've had a kid show up with like a really light, thin drum set stick. And just like Remy said, like the right weight of stick is really important. So that's why kind of that SD1 General, or your other company equivalent, I think the innovative Lalo Davila stick is like kind of the most common other beginning band stick to get. And so that SD1, that SD1 again, made of maple, is kind of that perfect combination of like length and thickness and weight to get a kid started on percussion.
And durability too.
Right. Yeah. I've never had a beginner come up and be like, my stick broke, unless they like took it home and, you know, threw it against a stick. Or a tree. Sorry.
Threw it against it a stick.
Yeah. So again, maple, hickory, oak, kind of your most popular, oak being a little bit more rare than the other two.
Yeah. And there are some, you know, like artisan brands, Cooperman. If you guys have ever heard of them, they make some really nice drumsticks. They use a lot of persimmon. They use some rosewood. I think they have like some Coco Bolo or some Bubinga drumsticks. And, you know, all of those are just, you're a professional if you're buying that stuff most of the time. I have played with like some rosewood sticks before. They're incredibly heavy, incredibly dense. You can get a lot of sound, probably too much sound really. But yeah, all of them are going to have their applications, but just knowing kind of how to use that material to get the sound that you want is the most important thing. Yeah, you want to bring us into the next category here?
Yeah, so another thing to think about when you're buying a stick is the thickness of your stick. So again, every thickness is going to give you a different kind of result. And mostly all of the thicknesses are standardized across most of the companies, most of the reputable companies. So when you're talking about the numbers, the most common numbers that you're going to see on a stick is like 2, 5, 7, and 8. And what that means is the lower the number, the thicker the stick is going to be. And then the larger the circumference also. So if you have like a 2, that means that that's going to be, you know, one of the thickest sticks. And then as the numbers get higher, the stick is going to get a little bit thinner. And then you also have letters on a drumstick, and A, most common are like A and B. And A refers to a lighter stick, and the B means that the stick is going to be heavier. And then other sticks with varying letters are going to fall kind of somewhere in between those two. So some of the most common drumstick sizes that you'll see is like a 7A, which is going to be like a light stick, great for like jazz band. You've got a 5A, which is a good moderate stick for most playing. Again, I kind of look at that as like drum set still.
Yeah.
Or you've got like 5B. Which is, again, that B means it's going to be a little bit heftier. It's going to be a little bit bigger, a little bit thicker. And then like 2B, for example, would be a pretty heavy stick, kind of like Remy was talking about way earlier in the episode about like heavy, hard rock, where that stick is going to last a long time and be able to throw out a lot of sound.
Yeah, I think you did a really good job explaining that. I probably wouldn't have been able to do it without getting mixed up. It is standardized across pretty much every major drumstick manufacturing company. So, but yeah, man, I think you button that up nicely. So, stick sizes are important. And honestly, that's going to be the biggest thing. The thickness is going to be the biggest thing that is going to change your sound. Like if you go play drum set drum set with like a marching stick, it's going to sound awful. You're going to overstimulate every drum, every cymbal, especially if you're trying to go for like a jazz sound or something. You know, you want something light that's going to give you like a really articulate light sound. So thickness is the most important thing, in my opinion, to consider to get the sound that you want.
Yeah. And thickness, again, I think you'll probably agree, is like just how it feels in your hand Because there's been times where I've played like in the, what's it called? Like the basketball band, the spirit band in college. And
yep,
we would show up and the only thing that would be there would be marching sticks.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't have the chops to play this long with these on these drums.
After one fight song rep, you're like, okay, I'm tired. So
yeah, it comes down to personal preference a lot. And we'll give some of our favorites and our recommendations at the end. The last thing I'll say here on thickness is there's a really helpful chart on Musician's Friend. If you guys are familiar with them, just an online retailer. When I was doing a little bit of research on this to make sure that I didn't say stuff that was stupid, I found this chart. So we'll link to that in the show notes if you're interested, but it had it laid out pretty well. And it had like some photos of drumsticks side by side. So you can kind of see the different shapes that we're going to talk about and the different thicknesses too. Speaking of shape,
let's move on to shape. So, the anatomy of the drumstick, if you don't know the anatomy of the drumstick, you should know that, but it has like the butt and then the taper or the shoulder and then the bead and the tip. So again, all those things can help you make a decision on the kind of stick that you want to get. The taper can drastically change the rebound. If you don't know what the taper is, that is where the thickness of the stick is going to get smaller kind of in either direction toward the tip or toward the butt. So that can really change how the stick feels. The bead of the stick can also change how it feels. And I think I want to talk about now is all the different bead types that there are. Yeah, so there can be a lot of different tips that can come on the stick, and that's going to really determine what you're going to use it for when it comes to what you're going to hit. You know, and again, this is a useful one for those band directors right now that are listening. If you have a kid that is playing like a cymbal part where they're not hitting it with a mallet, but they're hitting it with a stick, most of the time, the better sound you're going to want from that is using like a drum set type stick, like something that has a smaller tip, not something that is round. So like, I know that like, Remy, do you kind of agree with that so far?
Yeah, like something where the tip is like a little bit flatter on the, like, yeah. I call it a bead, but it's the same thing. But where the bead is a little bit flatter, where you're going to make a little bit more, you're going to make a little bit more contact on the side of the stick. You're talking about playing like the bead of the stick is actually playing kind of on the body of the cymbal, not where you're like crashing on the shoulder, right?
Right. Yeah.
You're talking about like a ride cymbal pattern. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, just the bead of a stick is going to help get that suspended cymbal pattern or whatever, like really articulate, versus if you're using a round bead, like a general concert drum stick, it's going to kind of make that sound a little bit washy and not as articulate.
Yeah. It's not as bright either. So if I ever have a kid that's playing some kind of ride cymbal part, or they're just supposed to hit a cymbal with a stick, like on the actual tip of it, not like a crash, I'll give them like a drum set stick or something like that. So anyway, so some of the beads that we have, or the tips, whatever you want to call them. So there's like an acorn style, or a diamond, or an arrow, or a barrel, and a round. So a round I kind of associate with like your normal SD1 general. A barrel is most of the time going to be something like a combo stick, something that I think can be used for concert band and drum set, and I'll kind of talk about a stick in a minute that is that. And then like your arrow and your acorn and your diamond are going to kind of be mostly drum set, just because it's mostly going to make that cymbal sound. Like if you're playing jazz, it's going to make that cymbal very light, but it's going to help it kind of cut through. And like Remy said a minute ago, it's not going to make it very washy. That the tip of the stick can really make a difference, and I think you can just kind of try out a lot and see what you like. There's also, and I know that we're going to talk about this because we have to, there's also a nylon
tip.
Remy, do you want to talk about nylon tips?
I don't even want to talk about nylon. yeah, we can. I mean, you know, again, this is really personal preference. I don't really know what it is. I think nylon sticks exist, you know, to get a brighter sound, because that the nylon is usually going to be harder on the surface than the wood would be. Wood, right. Anyway, but that nylon's going to be a little bit harder than the drumsticks bead, and so it gives you a little bit brighter sound on that cymbal. But I don't know, man. I've never liked them. They feel weird. I feel like that nylon absorbs some of the vibration or something. They feel weird in my hands always. And I just don't really like the sound. The sound is like manufactured to me. It doesn't sound as natural. And I really think that if you focus on your technique a little bit, this is where I sound like a snob. If you focus on your technique a little bit, you can get the sound that you want from a wooden tip drumstick. But I mean, if you use nylon tip sticks, that's great. Dude, keep on going for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, to each his own. Like, if you like using them, then go for it. I don't even know why, but I feel like from even like my younger years, like high school, middle school stuff, like I looked at a nylon stick and I was just like, I don't like that. And I think, like you said, it's kind of just like unnecessary. Like, we don't need it. If we have all these other sticks that work well, we don't need to put plastic on the end of a stick. But anyway, yeah, not trying to be a snob, just like we're just talking about what we like and what we don't like. So
one thing I will say right here before we move on, definitely don't let your kids get nylon tip sticks. That doesn't have any place on like a concert snare drum or anything like that. I think the only reason they exist is for getting a brighter cymbal articulation sound. So if your kid, you know, comes to you like, hey, I bought these new sticks, or they're looking for recommendations, definitely don't recommend nylon sticks as like a concert band drumstick. Anyway,
yeah,
can be done. I'll calm down now.
And I think, you know, it's something we do. So if we're a little passionate about something, then it's okay to talk about it. But, well, yeah.
I'm sweaty now, so.
And like Remy said, or a little bit earlier, there's a lot of resources like that Musician's Friend link. If you're like really trying to get some sticks that you like, use that link and try out a bunch of sticks. Like, there's nothing wrong with going into Guitar Center and just trying out things and figuring out what you like. And there's been plenty of times where I've gotten a pair of sticks and hours into it, I'm like, well, I don't like these. They're too short, they're too long, they're too thick, or that I don't like the tip or whatever. So you got to try it out. It's kind of like with most things in life. So Remy, do you want to talk about just a couple of recommendations that we like to use on a regular basis and what we like to have our kids use?
Yeah, and just one second, you said length, and that made me realize that we didn't talk about length. So length can help a lot. You like a really short drumstick, you think about the leverage of a drumstick, being able to get the velocity that you need or the rebound that you need. I think that probably the average drumstick is around 16 inches long. You know, they have some 17s, they have some shorter ones. All of those are really personal preference also, but you know, you can definitely have a drumstick that is too long. And then you think about where your fulcrum goes. We talked about, if you remember back in whatever episode that was, tips for starting beginning percussionists or something. We talked about that fulcrum being a third up the stick. And if your length starts drastically changing, you're going to have to change where that fulcrum is to get the correct rebound. And then, you know, the longer stick changes the weight of the stick too. So I really haven't personally seen any sticks that are much more than like, you know, maybe 15 to 17 inches. Like, they're pretty much all right around that mark, I would think. Maybe a tad shorter, but I don't think I've seen anything longer than 16 or 17. So just know that that exists too. Yeah, so now we can talk about some recommendations.
Yeah, cool. So these are just some sticks that I think we like to use on a regular basis, and band directors, if you're listening, sticks that you can use for your kids. If you're thinking about like, oh, this random kid came up and said they need a drum set sticks, I have no idea where to send them. These are just a couple of recommendations. So SD1 Generals right off the bat for concert band, especially for a young student, is a go-to for me. When I am playing a concert snare drum or whatever, I like to use the ones that kind of recently came out a couple of years ago. It was the Vic Firth, Jake Nissley, I think is how you say his name, N-I-S-S-L-Y. It is a laminated birch. It's part of Vic Firth's symphonic collection, and they have a great taper to them. I love those sticks that have, like, and I'm talking about a taper down toward the butt of the stick.
Like the old Tom Freer sticks?
Yes.
Yeah,
they're,
I love
those. They're essentially that same feel, which I think, I don't know, did they stop making those or they switched
companies? He makes his own sticks now. Promark doesn't make them anymore.
So I don't know what about that taper that makes it just feel really good in my hands, but I like those. So what concert sticks do you like?
SD1 Generals, right? I mean, those are just the go-to for all of my beginning kids. And honestly, even up through high school, they kind of become your, oh, I need to play break drum in concert band, so I'm going to use my SD1 Generals or something. But they're just a really great all-around stick that can be used for a lot in band settings. Probably my favorite, I really like the Tim Jenis series from Vic Firth. And there's like several sticks in there. There's a general stick, a Tim Jenis general, that's really nice. But one that I really like, when I was in college going through like De La Cluse stuff and just different etudes, they're called the Leggeros, I think is how you say it. And there is like a really long taper down towards the bead. And then the bead is actually a shape that we haven't talked about today. And I've never really seen another drumstick with it. But it's got like a cartwheel shaped bead, or like a cookie almost.
Yeah, it looks like a wheel. It looks like a wheel. Yeah, yeah.
A wheel. Anyway, there's like a really slight delay between us recording, and so just funny like that. But yeah, I really like those Leggero sticks. They're incredibly bouncy, and they're really great for like intricate concert snare playing. You can get really, really soft with them, but still have a lot of control on like your double strokes and your triple strokes and things like that. For drum set, I know Kevin uses these too, but the Vic Firth Freestyle 55As, those have been my go-to drum set stick for probably the last 5 years or something. Ever since they came out, I saw them, and they're a little bit longer, and I think, does Questlove have his own sticks, or are these the ones that he marketed?
No, he's got his own signature.
So I can't remember who marketed these, but I was like, oh, I'll give those a shot. And I ordered a couple pair.
I'm holding each of them in my hand right now.
Nice. And I like those a lot. They look
the same. They're the exact same length. Questloves are just a little bit thinner.
Okay. Yeah, they're good. We talked about that 55A, that would be really close to a 5A, just a tad thicker. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And the same extra with you. 5 makes them a little bit thicker.
Yeah, I love the Freestyle 55As. Yeah, and they were apparently kind of, the idea was a longboard, going from a skateboard to a longboard, just making it really good. And I like that you can still have that fulcrum in the same spot. It just gives you a little bit more length. To reach symbols or whatever.
Yeah. So yeah, those are really great. And then if we hadn't talked about like a jazz recommendation, I do, you know, fancy myself a jazz drummer sometimes. So I really like the Steve Jordan signatures. They're really light, really articulate, really skinny, and they just feel really good. For a lot of jazz sticks, they get so skinny that it's like, I feel like I'm playing with a pencil that is super dead, super non-reboundy. But these actually have a little bit of weight to them, even though they're pretty thin. I think those are like 7A, 7, something like that. They're pretty thin.
Yeah.
But they do have some weight, and they have some nice bounce.
Yeah, same to me. It's like the Questloves we were just talking about. That's like about as thin as I could ever go, because like you said, it feels like you're just playing with like a toothpick.
Right.
It doesn't give much back to you. One of my jazz sticks I like is Vic Firth just makes like the general American jazz out of hickory.
Yeah.
The AJ2 is a pretty good stick to use. Just kind of light. I wish it was a little bit longer. Again, like if they made this into the Freestyle, where it was a little bit longer, I would like that a lot. But yeah. And then I also like the Benny Greb sticks. Yeah, are pretty sweet too. They're a little bit thicker. Not so
those
much
are pretty
jazz.
Good general drumsticks. Those yeah. Bean Grab. He's kind of like a funk and jazz guy, and so kind of fusing like a rock stick and a jazz stick together.
Yeah. So we didn't really talk much about marching band stuff. I don't know how we skipped over that, but do you want to talk about your marching band recommendations?
Yeah, definitely. My favorite stick right now is the Vic Firth Tom Angst stick. And I mean, it's a snare drum stick, really. It's a little bit too long to be a quad or a tenor stick, I would say. But it's definitely that rudimental stick. But yeah, the Tom Angst stick is my favorite right now. And then as far as a tenor stick or mallet, I kind of like the hybrid. So I like the drum stick body, but then I like to have like a little bit of a plastic bead on that. So I really like the John Mapes, also by Vic Firth, right? But the John Mapes, and they're a pretty good stick, good quality, but they have like a rounded kind of cartwheel bead on them that kind of helps with some projection. Since most high schools, you have to tune your quads pretty high, but they kind of get lost in that sound a lot of the time. And so if you get a plastic bead, in my opinion, or a nylon bead, really helps bring out some of those sounds.
Yeah. I like those Tom Angst too, and the hybrids. Those are good choices. The ones I have kind of been using over the last few years or so, or I guess I started out using just the very popular Vic Firth Ralph Hardimans. I like those for snare, and the tenor version of them are pretty good too. Those are actually what I used at OSU all the time, was the Ralph Hardimans. I feel like they just have a good barrel tip to them, and they have a good rebound, and the weight feels really good. Sometimes I'll also have my kids, like my high school students, I'll be like, hey, what do you guys want to use? Like, what do you like? And they will kind of do some research and come to me with something that they like, and I'll check it out and be like, yeah, we'll do that. And they, in past years, they've picked the Tom Hannum Beasts that are pretty good. They're heavy. They're a little bit heavier than the Ralph Hardiman. So kind of depending upon the group of kids I have, will kind of depend on if they can play with those or not.
Yeah, I like those Beast sticks a lot. Those were made for Carolina Crown a few years ago, I think, whenever they had that show. And we used those when I was in grad school. The drumline at OSU used those, and they liked those a lot. And they also were super, super durable, which was kind of the whole idea behind those.
Yeah, they for sure last longer than like the Ralph Hardimans or something.
Yeah, and when we're here on the subject of marching sticks, don't let your kids use marching sticks on concert instruments, please. I think most of the time that is something that directors know. Just making sure that your kids know that's not acceptable, because that's how heads get damaged and instruments get broken and things like that. They're designed for those drums that are supposed to be played at a certain volume outside, and those heads on those drums have been made to withstand that.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's move on.
The last one that I hadn't put on my list, but I was just thinking about the Swizzle sticks. Right. So it's basically like a SD1 general, just a really general, or I think it is an SD1 general.
It is an SD1 general.
But on the butt of the stick, there's like a hard felt little bass drum head. Little bass drum beater. And they're really cool if you're playing like a multi-percussion solo or a multi-percussion ensemble, or even I've seen some people use that felt side for like suspended cymbal rolls. I don't think that sounds super great, but if you need a really bind. Fast change, they make a really good like musical stick. If you're playing in a pit of a musical and you've got something you need to change from, like toms or bass drum really quick from a snare drum or from bongos or something, they're just a really really good tool to have in your stick bag.
Yeah, if you don't have Swizzles, you need to just go order some right now. Use our code.
No, that's I'm just false kidding. Advertising.
We don't have a code. But yeah,
not you yet, should Vic Firth.
Get some Swizzles, because I think I can pull those out of my bag on a weekly basis when I'm teaching.
Yeah.
Like I'm using a percussion ensemble right now in sixth grade that like, hey, you're going to use these Swizzles for something. One last stick recommendation is if you have a kid that's like, I want one pair of sticks and I don't want more than one, like the SD4 combo that Vic Firth has is kind of a good, it's got that barrel tip. So pretty good for drum set, good for like light cymbal stuff, but also kind of works for concert percussion. It's not as thick as I would want it to be as like a SD1, but SD4 combo, not a bad stick if you have a kid that just wants like one.
Yeah. How many last recommendations do you think we just gave?
So I have another last recommendation and it's turn off the podcast.
Yeah. And you know, you collect a lot of drumsticks over the years. Like I've got just bags and bags of things that I've collected over the years, but, and you take care of them and eventually you have so many, it's like, oh man, it's been a while since I've played these, and you pick them out and you like, oh, these feel pretty good, or I don't like these anymore or whatever. But you know, find two or three sizes, thicknesses, find two or three sticks that you like, that are kind of, you know, they can be very specialized or they could be kind of jacks of all trades, but, you know, use some of this info hopefully and find something that you like. And again, the end goal is what we started with. And that's, you're trying to just achieve the sound that you want, a good sound. And so hopefully you can use all these tips and find a stick that gets you the sound that you want.
Yeah. That's all we care about. Got anything else, dude?
I don't think so, man. See you tomorrow at the zoo.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, and we will see you on part two next time on how to choose a mallet.
Yeah, man. That one's going to be really exciting. All right. Yeah. Later, guys. Thank you.